Thank you, Tommy, for singing that song again for me tonight after you have sung it for me this morning at the early service, which went really, really well with the lesson that we were going to be dealing with. Again, we want to welcome all of you here this evening, and especially if you happen to be visiting with us tonight, we are delighted to have you in attendance this evening. We also, as it was mentioned earlier today, have begun being able to broadcast and stream our services online. There's video that's going on right now. And so if you happen to be listening online somewhere, or if you happen to be viewing us online somewhere, we are thankful that you are joining us this evening for our service tonight. And again, it is good to see all of you here. As you know, tonight's lesson is going to be a continuation of this morning's lesson. I got point one finished, and Steve, as I was walking in tonight, said, "Chris, I'm really looking forward to the 4 points that you've got for us tonight." I said, "Actually, there's five." He said, "4 points, Chris." So Steve is not ready for the five that I've got left, but he is ready for four of the five that I'm going to provide this evening. As part of an introduction to our lesson tonight, let's go back to Psalm 119. And again, let's read through verses 9 through 16, and then we will move through our lesson this evening. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Now, this morning, we talked about how many people have given up much for the gospel of Christ, and we discussed a few of those individuals together. We talked about Barnabas, we talked about Paul, we talked about Jesus. Then we made reference to our love and our commitment and our faithfulness to God's Word. And as we discussed what David was writing here in Psalm 119, we see the emotion and the dedication and the zeal that he has towards God's law as he goes through all of these particular verses here that have been written in Psalm 119. And so that begs the question for us, that how much does the Word of God mean to me? And what can I have the Word of God do for me in my life? And that's what David was dealing with. Now, as you read some of these passages of Scripture, it may be that you discover some things that might be a little different than some of the things I'm going to suggest this evening and in this lesson. But as you read through them, it may speak to you in a certain way. This is what the gospel means to me. This is how much the Word of God means to me. And you certainly can see that it meant a lot to David, the psalmist there. But the first thing that we mentioned was using it to cleanse our ways, and in particular in three areas, in our thoughts, in our mouths, and in our behaviors. And if we will listen to the Word of God when it comes to these three things, it will keep us from heartache, it will keep us from headache, it will help us to have a better life, live a better existence here on this earth. So we talked about how we love the law of God, and regarding that, or concerning the gospel, we want to use it to cleanse our ways. Well, what else can we use the gospel for as we look at what David has to say here in Psalm 119? The second thing is this. Concerning the gospel, I will use it to enrich my relationship with God. Now, go to verse 10 of this passage. He says, "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments." And we think about that particular passage of Scripture, and we think about another passage. We think about Hebrews chapter 11, and we think about verse 6. And in that passage of Scripture says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Well, how are we going to diligently seek God? Well, we're diligently seeking Him by being obedient to His Word, by learning more about His Word, by striving to do our very best to make our lives a mirror image of what God tells us it needs to be. And that's how we can cleanse our ways, as we talked about before, and it's how we can enrich our relationship with God. That's what David wanted to do. "I want to seek you with my whole heart." Now think about that for a moment. "I want to seek you with my whole heart." Well, how can you seek God with your whole heart? He says, "Let me not wander from your commandments." I want to observe those commandments I want to listen to what it is that you have to say. You know why? Because I want to seek you with my whole heart. I want to be close to you, God. I want to have a relationship with you. When you think about the word intimate, having an intimate relationship, when we consider that term, it's an interesting term. According to Webster's dictionary, it's characterized by close friendship or association. Now, I'd ask you, does this describe the relationship that you have with God? Is it an intimate, a close friendship and association that you have with Him? And then I'd like to ask you a series of questions here. Now, the first question is this: are we diligently seeking God when we do not use our talents for His benefit? When we do not use our talents to do the word that He has given us to do? When He has shared with us certain things that we can do in order to enrich the lives of other people and enrich our own life? Are we diligently seeking Him when we fail to use our talents for that benefit? That's the first question. And the second question is this: are we diligently seeking a close association with God when we just decide not to attend the services of the saints? When we don't come and fellowship with one another and worship and fellowship with God? Are we truly seeking a close relationship with Him? In an article in the book Contending for the Faith by G.C. Brewer, it listed some reasons why we go to worship every Lord's Day. And one of those was because God is a personal God. It's a personal God. Now, Brother Brewer made the statement, "Therefore, when men do not feel inclined to worship God and to want them or want Him in their lives, the cause is, call it what you will, atheism. They do not believe in God as a loving Father. They do not believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that seek after Him. If they did, of course, they would diligently seek after Him." So think about that for a moment. We get an opportunity and a blessing and a privilege, and we sometimes pray about that. A lot of times people will come and they will pray, "Thank you for this opportunity for us to be able to come together and to worship you and to praise you." This is an opportunity for us to seek to have a closer, more intimate relationship with God, to think about the things that God wants us to think about, and to think about Him. And then we don't take advantage of those opportunities. And then we say, "Yeah, I want to have an intimate relationship with..." Well, you can't say that. You can't say that. God's a personal God, and He wants some of our time, and He wants us to worship Him. He wants us to learn about Him in our lives. And so I want to use His Word to make sure that I'm seeking Him with my whole heart, and I do not want to wander from His commandments. And if I'll not wander from His commandments, then I can use His Word to enrich my relationship with Him. Third, concerning the gospel, I will proclaim it to the world. Let's go here to verse 13 of this particular passage of Scripture in Psalm 119. We want to look at it together. He says here in this text, "With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth." Now, if you'll go back with me to what Tony read this morning, I said that Tony's passage of Scripture in Psalm chapter 40 spoke to so much of what we were going to discuss today. If we'll go to about verse 9, and we'll read through that. Here it says in chapter 40 of Psalm, it says, "I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me." And what's he saying here? He's saying, listen, there's something good happening here. Something good. And I want to share that information with all of the people that are around me. I want to share that information with the great congregation. I want them to know how good you are. I want them to know about the salvation and the protection that you offer. I'm going to declare this. I want to proclaim it. Do I love God's law, God's gospel enough that I want to proclaim it to the world? You know, we talk about this being the good news. The good news. That's the gospel. The good news about Jesus Christ. Sometimes We don't act like it's good news. We act like it's bad news, that it's offensive news to people that we might be around, that if we start talking about all of that, well, then that's going to turn those people, and we certainly don't want to offend. Gospel is the good news. And they've said, you know what? I'm ready to share that with whoever will listen. I want to talk about it. I want to proclaim it. Do I love God's law that much that I want to share this good news with everybody I come in contact with? Well, Jesus wants us to. And that's what he wanted his disciples to do in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. He wanted them to share the good news with everybody. He says as much when he said, go ye therefore and teach about 30 nations. Isn't that what he said? I want you to go and teach 30 nations. Gospel. Out of those 30 nations, the people that will hear and those people that will believe and those people that will be baptized, well, then those people will be the ones that'll be saved. That'll be good. 30 nations. You guys, that's a great task for you. I think you get it. That's not what he said, is it? He said, I want you to go and teach every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I want you to tell everybody, every creature, every nation, I want you to share this good news. Do we love the law of God that much, this good news? You know, a lot of times we get upset because some people, they don't think that the Word of God is all that we believe it to be. There are many people that would discredit it. There are many people that even are religious people that would suggest that it's not all inspired by God and that there are flaws in it. And don't you know there are flaws in that? Well, I'd like for you to show me all of the flaws. I'd like for you to show me all these things. Are there some alleged discrepancies that people assert concerning the Bible? Well, sure, there are. Are there some things that we have to think about and reason through and consider because we may not on the surface understand them, and it may be that it doesn't make all the sense in the world to us at that moment, but after some study we can reconcile the thoughts of those things? Well, sure there are. There are occasions where we have to do that. The Bible harmonizes with itself, and it is the inspired divine Word of God. And for those people that would try to discredit it or make fun of those of us who believe in it, I would ask you this. You tell me, put it back on them, you tell me which life to live is better. You tell me what's wrong with living like this. What's wrong with that? You want to discredit the Bible? You look around. I can look at all the lives of the people that don't live like this, and I can see how they are just horrible. They're in shambles. You tell me why this isn't the best way to live. And you try it and see if it's not the best way. So I want to proclaim that good news. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to get that word out. Woe is me if I don't, because if I don't get that word out, then I have shorted somebody from hearing the saving news of Jesus Christ. Woe is me. In James chapter 5, verse 20, it says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. Now, in light of this, what could possibly keep us from teaching the gospel except for a lack of love towards God? Oh, how I love thy law. Concerning gospel, I love it so much, I'm willing to proclaim it to those that are in the world. Next, concerning the gospel, I will desire it more than material gain. Go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we notice verse 14. It says, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. In other words, what is David saying here in this particular passage of Scripture? He's saying, you know what? To make sure that I have access to your word, I'll give everything away. I don't have to have these riches. I don't have to be the king. I don't have to have all of these special privileges that are given to me in the position that I'm in. Why? Because I love your law that much. So I need to desire it more than material gain. Now, a lot of times we have the difficulties with this. Sometimes when we think about the gospel, there are some choices that we have to make in life. Choice can be God or money. And a lot of times people make the wrong decision on that. Sometimes it can be worship or work. Now, understand, I know that there are circumstances which hinder us from being able to be here all the time. I'm not talking about some of those things, but I am talking about when we make a conscious decision, you know what, I'd rather do this than go to worship. Worship or work? What about this? What about giving or hoarding? I desire it more than material gain. Sometimes I may hoard what I have, and I don't appreciate the blessings that God has given me, and therefore that doesn't translate in how much I want to return to Him. We give or hoard. Then we think about serving or backsliding. We have some choices that we have to make in life. In Psalm 119, 127, it says, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, what? Above fine gold. It's more important to me than anything. You know, often wondered, and I realize that they are plenteous and you can buy one for a little bit cheaper, but I thought whenever anybody might have a fire in their home, what would be the first thing they'd grab? You know? What would you grab? Pictures. All right. Some people would grab pictures. Somebody might be trying to tote that 52-inch television out. I don't know. I'm not sure. Any of us grab our Bibles? Something that, you know, I realize you can buy these and you can get them cheap. And you can get one, and that's probably not the most expensive as far as a monetary item that you would have in your home. But, you know, there's a lot of value to a Bible that you have read through and you've made notes in and you have developed thoughts regarding, written in. I'm here to tell you that that's the most valuable commodity that you own. You can lose everything else, but don't lose God's Word in your life. It's valuable. And so I desire it more than the material gain that I have in life. Next, concerning the gospel, I will respect it for what it says. Let me go to verse 15. He says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Now that's important and significant to think about. It may be that you want to highlight that in your Bible. Because a lot of times we get to the point in our life where we want to do things our way. I want to do it my way. But David says here in this particular passage of Scripture, I fix my eyes on your ways. I recognize that there are things that you want me to do. And it may be that I don't understand all of those things. You know, sometimes preachers will use the term, this is God's positive law, which really means that God has given us a command to do something that it may not make sense to us necessarily in logical terms, but it's what God said to do. Let me give you an example. What about being baptized for the remission of your sins? Now, I can make a case and an argument because it is a representation of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I could also ask the question, well, why water and what does that do? Is there anything magical about that? And a lot of people would say that. What is magical about the water? What does it do for you? Well, it's not that there's anything magical or special about the water. It is what? It is being obedient to God. That's what 1 Peter says. 3:21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of flesh. You can't get in there and rinse off of your all of your sins in the baptistry by rubbing it off of your flesh. It doesn't come off that way. He said, but by an answer of a good conscience towards God, you're being obedient to God's command. And you may not understand all of the particulars about that or why He chose that way. I don't know why He didn't just tell us, well, why don't you just bury people for about 20 minutes or 30 seconds? Let's just dump a bunch of dirt on them. And that would also mimic the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But He chose not to do it that way when He could have. So I don't understand all the things about it or all the reasons why, except that it's an easier way to mimic that, immediate way to do it. But it is God's command. And because it's a command from God, not only should I do it, I ought to want to do it. And because it's a command, it makes it necessary that I do it. Now, there are some things that make a lot of sense to us. They're logical. When God says, thou shalt not kill, that makes sense. How chaotic would it be in our society if people went around killing whoever they wanted to arbitrarily? That's just a logical law, isn't it? That just makes sense. We get that. There may be some things that God says for us to do. We don't completely understand why He decided to do it that way, but that's not my place. It's not. My place is to meditate on His ways. I find that He has told me to do something that way, I do it. Because I'm here to honor His precepts. I'm not here to honor me. And so how do I love God's law? I will respect it for what it says and not seek to change it in my life. You know, we think about, and there we go, God's divine authority. And there's a reason for why God does things. And again, we may not understand Him, but we should trust His judgment in all things. And of course, not question God's divine authority in these areas. You know, a lot of times we deal with some of the biggies that what we consider from people. Yeah, there are a couple of issues that we deal with right now in our society that are big problems, and people just don't adhere to what God's Word says to us. But, you know, we need to think about all of those areas, not just maybe what we consider to be some of the biggies that people have decided that they, you know, I'm going to do it. Because sometimes I think that we can be like that. Yeah, I'm going to do this my way. I don't think that God believes that that's as big a deal as some people make of it. Well, what is that? Well, that's not me conforming to what God wants. That's me deciding to do what I want and not respecting His Word. So we can sometimes try to seek to change what God's Word says to fit the lifestyle that we want to live. Dave said, that's not what I'm going to do here. What I'm going to do is meditate on Your precepts. I'm going to fix my eyes on Your ways. I'm going to do it that way. And that's the attitude that we need to have. And if we'll do that, then we'll demonstrate a love for God's law, love for God's gospel. Then, finally, concerning the gospel, I will make it my pastime. Listen to verse 16. I will delight in Your statutes. I will not forget Your word. I will not forget it. Do we make God's word a large part of our life, or is it just an afterthought? Have we really convinced ourselves that Sunday and Wednesday study is enough for me to get all that I need from God's Word each week? Have we convinced ourselves of that? And whether we've convinced ourselves or not, I'm afraid that sometimes that's our practice. That our practice is, go on Sunday. I'll show up Wednesday. I'll get my fix for the week. But that's not what David says. He says, I delight in Your statutes. If there's something that you enjoy, if there's something that you delight in, guess what? It's something you want to do. How many of us have pastimes? How many of us have things that we enjoy doing? Now, I know I have pastimes. There are things that I enjoy doing. I delight in those things. Do we have that same kind of passion and zeal and delight for the Word of God? Do we make it a part of our pastime? Well, they said, I delight in that. I want to do those things. I want to know more about it. I want to understand it better. And I don't want to forget it. A lot of us have been out of school for some time now. And it's funny when you've been out of school for a while, and your kids bring you their homework. And there are some things that I can do real well. I can do history real well. I'm not strong at math. Although I used to be okay at math, I struggled for a while in high school, and then all of a sudden it seemed like a light came on. Boop, and I started grasping some concepts, and I did real well with it. But I can tell you right now, if you put the same book that I had back then in front of me and asked me to do this, I'm not going to remember. Wow, that was really loud. Somebody turned me up on that. I'm not going to remember. I've lost it. You know why? Because I don't practice that anymore. I don't do it. And because I don't practice it and I don't spend time doing it, and I've forgotten it. You know, there was this one guy in our school, and he was just brilliant. He may be listening online tonight. I'm not sure. If he is, then I'm going to throw you a bone. His name was Richard Russick. I'll never forget that guy. He used to drive me nuts because I actually had a class with him. He was the valedictorian of the grade ahead of me. And to be able to sit in a class with him, man, I must have been doing something right. Actually, I wasn't. It was just an elective health class. And he happened to be in the same one I was in. I didn't get to enjoy some of the higher level classes that he did. But I sat down and I was talking to him one day in class, and he was the nicest guy, and I really liked him a lot. In fact, I think he went to either Princeton or Yale, got a scholarship to go there because he was so intelligent and smart. But I sat there and I talked to him, and he would come into class, and every time he would come in there, his homework was done for the day. And I said, "Hey, you got any homework tonight?" No, I finished it all. I said, "Wouldn't you?" I sat down for about 15 minutes, just put it straight A's. I mean, this guy was amazing. He was so intelligent. I said, he ran cross country or track, and I'm not saying that for you guys that do that, as if to equate you with a nerd or anything. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is he also ran cross country and track, but he was also very smart. And I said, "What else do you enjoy doing besides running?" Trey said, "You know what I love to do? I love to go home and sit down and just work out math problems." I went, "You got to be kidding me, right?" Nope. I love to go home and get a math problem about this long, and I love to work it out. Now, that's a guy that has a passion for studying math. That's his pastime. That was his desire. He loved it. I can't think of anything more terrible than sitting there for hours trying to figure out one long math problem. I'd rather you just stab me in the eye with a fork and get it over with. But that's what he loved doing. That was his passion. That was his delight. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. Is learning more about God's Word and living more in harmony with it, is that a passion of ours? Is that something we're seeking to do and striving to do the way that we should? If so, and we can say, "I love your law." You get the sense here of how passionate David was about God's Word. In fact, if you just sit down and you think about it, he took the time to write all of these different psalms, and many of them dealt with how much he loves God's Word. To sit and think about that, just, I'm going to write down how much, and I'm going to use different terminology to make sure you so that you know that I know, and so that I know that I know how much I love your Word. Do we have that much zeal and that much passion for God's Word? David was not a perfect man, not by a long stretch. We are keenly aware of his shortcomings and his mistakes in life. But I do know this, he had a zeal for the law of God. He wanted to serve God. He wanted to be more close. Wanted to live closer to God in his life. And I hope that that's the decision that we will make as well. And so tonight, as we close this lesson, I hope that you'll want to grow closer to the Word of God in your life, in your approach, in everything that you do. I hope you'll make it your passion. Hope you'll make it your pastime. Hope that you'll look into it so that you can enrich your relationship, have a more intimate relationship with God. If you've not been doing that, and we want to encourage you, we can pray for you about that, and we can help you, and we can study with you. So if you have a need tonight and you want this congregation to pray with you or help you, or if it's the case that you've not been obedient to the commands of God. You know what it says, and as we were reading before, sometimes people want to make it about themselves and want to fit the Scriptures into their lifestyle and not be obedient to what God said He wants them to do. If you've not been obedient to what God has clearly directed you to do in order to become a Christian, then we want to beg with you to become a Christian tonight. And so this evening, if you have a need to respond to the invitation, do so now while together we stand and sing.